Chaf Vav Amud Aleph on the way bottom. We were in the middle of talking about different phrases and words that the Tanaim and Amroim didn't know what they were, what they meant, and they were offering their explanations as to what they were. And our Gemara, for the next half Amud at least, is going to give us a lengthier list of such words. The Gemara says, Levi ikla lahu asra. Levi went up to arrived at a certain place, asa gavri lekameh, and somebody came up to him and said, said to him, kavan planya. Planya, meaning plony, kavan. Now, Levi had no idea what kavan meant, but that's what the guy said to him. Lo avayadam aika amrele. Levi had no idea what this guy was saying. What does this word kavan mean? Asa shal be midrusha. So he went into the base medrash and he asked people, what does this word mean? Amrele, they said to him, gazlan. It means a thief. And the guy was complaining that somebody stole something from him. Amrlach. That's what he was saying to you. Dichsiv, as it says in the pasuk, hayikva adam elokim. Would Hashem steal from man? So we see from this pasuk that the word kava.
Rob Hashem.
Yeah.
What?
Shall man rob Hashem?
Say again?
Shall man rob Hashem?
Oh, it's the opposite way. What? It's the other way. Hayikva Adam Elokim, shall man rob God? Okay, at any rate. Okay. Very good, thank you for the correction. So, the translation is Hayikva
Adam. I didn't understand the correction.
Don't worry about it. Amrle Rava. Rava said to him, Amrle Rava mi Barnish le Ravashi. Rava mi Barnish said to Ravashi, I don't understand why Levi couldn't figure out what this word meant. Ihavi Hassam, if I was over there, meaning if I were Levi, Hava Aminale, I would have said to this guy who complained to me, Hechi Kavech, how did this person Kavech? B'mai Kavech. And with what did he do so? And why did he do so? In other words, I would have asked him questions surrounding the word, and from the context of the answers, I would have gathered what it meant, and I would have been able to figure it out. So why does Levi have to go to the base medrash? It's very unimpressive that Levi has to go to the base medrash to...
Couldn't look it up on Wikipedia or...
Right, he couldn't wiki it. He couldn't wiki... What?
What does Mimela mean?
Mimela, Mimela means, and I guess,
Means
Mimela. How does the article translate?
Of course.
What? As a matter of course. Okay.
What does that mean? As a matter of
course. Everyone uses it in Yeshivish language.
Yeah, right. Mimela means...
From the, as a matter of course, in the footnotes says...
Not as a matter of fact. As a matter of course, meaning...
From the man's answers.
Right. In the process of gathering the man's answers, I would have been able to figure it out.
He's here.
So why does Levi... Oh, very good. I'm not doing this whole thing again. So why did Taka Levi ask the question in the base midrash without asking surrounding questions? So the Gemara says, V'ihu savar Levi held milsa di surah ka'amarle. It must be because the guy is teaching me a milsa di surah. He's telling me something which is usur, and so it would be inappropriate for me to answer. Lo haviyadi rabbana mai serugin.
Why wouldn't it help?
What?
Why wouldn't it have helped?
It would have helped, but it would have been inappropriate for him to ask questions surrounding a milsa di surah, like if it was something like the guy was saying something, that he said something inappropriate, you know, like...
He's a good manners, whatever.
He right, he's using good manners. Instead of asking the guy something... i.e. illicit relations or the like. Instead of asking the guy about the details, he said, you know what, let me just go to the base manager and ask. It's a very interesting Gemara.
So who's the smart one?
So at the end of the day, who's the smart one? Exactly.
Yeah.
Very good.
What is it? Sabar Rabbanan?
We're on almost a new topic. Not new topic, but new line. Seven line. We're on the seventh line. Lo haviyadi Rabbanan. And this is
why
a new...
It says clearly that word kiva.
Yeah, it's a good question. That's a better question. I don't have the answer, but I do know that there is a Tosis in Bava Basra that says that some of the Tanaim and Amoraim didn't know the Psukim all that well. I don't want to be Choshed Levi Bechsherim.
This is a Haftorah, and we read it every year.
Uh-huh.
Which is it?
That's a very good question.
Yikba Adam Elokim. it's the Haftorah. Malachi Gimel was the Haftorah.
This is a very good question. What in Pompadisa? You say in Pompadisa they didn't have Nachyomi then. Nachyomi started a little bit afterwards.
This is the last of all of the Nevi'im.
What?
This is the last of the Pasuk in all of the Nevi, right?
Really?
Malachi is the end of the
Nevi. Okay.
This is the last Pasuk in the Nevi.
Very good.
I didn't get that. It's the Ksuvim afterwards, though. Right? Nachyomi does Ksuvim with him?
This is really interesting. All right, it's a really good question. It's a very good question. I have the answer. Anyway, seventh line. Lo havi yad rabbanim amai seirugin. The rabbanim didn't know what seirugin was, even though seirugin is written throughout the Mishnayos. There's a Mishnah Megillah about reading the Megillah of the seirugin, which means starting and stopping. But at any rate, the rabbanim, for whatever reason, didn't know what seirugin meant. Shamu haliyamsa debei Rabbi. They heard the.
According to this, if one read it, he has discharged his obligation.
Yeah, the Megillah. I'm just saying they didn't know what the word Seirugin meant. It's a Pella.
You're saying starting and stopping.
No, that's what it actually means. That's what it actually means, but they didn't know what it meant. And they, in order for them to figure it out, Shamhu Aliyamsa the Bay Rebbe, they heard the maidservant of the house of Rebbe, the Chazasnu Rabbanon, she saw the Rabbanon, to have a Eili Piski Piski. They were going into the Beis Medrash one at a time. Very choppy. They weren't flowing. They were just going one, and then another one came. So Amar Lahu, he said to them, Ad Masayatim Snichnasin Seirugin Seirugin. Until when are you going to stop going into the Beis Medrash one at a time? So they figured out that Seirugin meant going and stopping, going and stopping.
Is she Jewish?
I don't know, but she was a wise woman because she has the next four or five words are in her name. So, she knew what she was talking about. I don't know.
Okay.
Lo havi yad rabbanamai chalug logos. So the rabbanim did not know what the word chalug logos meant. Yom achad, but one day, shamu aliyamsa debei Rebbe, they again heard the maidservant of the house of Rebbe, the Chazasla, who Gavra, who saw a man, the Kamavader Parpachine, and he was scattering his parpachine is a type of vegetable. And I guess maybe he was scattering the peels of the vegetable. But at any rate, Amrelay, she said to this man, Ad Masaya Tamefazer Chalug Logecha. Until when are you going to stop scattering your chalug logos? So they figure it out that these chalug logos are some kind of vegetable.
You know parpachine, but they didn't know chalug logos. Right?
Apparently.
You know parpachine means they didn't know chalug logos. Okay.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Mm-hmm. Lo havi yad rabbanim mai salsala utromamecha. The rabbanim didn't know what the pasuk meant when it said salsala, you should turn it over, utromamecha, and it will raise you. This is a reference to the Torah. And as the pasuk says, if you turn it over, meaning if you learn it well, it will raise you to chabdecha, and it will honor you kisa chabkena when you embrace it. But they didn't know what the word salsala meant. Well, I guess they weren't very Mexican, so they didn't eat too much salsa. But Yom Achad, one day, Shamuhu Aliyamsa de Bei Rebbe, they heard the maidservant of Rebbe, the Havas Amri, that she would say, Lahu Gavra, to a certain man, the Havaka Mahapek Pesari, this man was curling his hair. And she said to him, Amri, she said to him, Admasayatam Salsal Besarecha. Until when are you going to stop curling your hair? So they figured out the Masalsala, that word means to curl or to play around with. Further, Lo Havi Yad Rabbanam Mayim Vitata Seya Vimatati Hashmad. The Rabbanim didn't know.
Can I give you the footnote on salsa? The rabbis,
you know, salsa. You know that salsa is the number one condiment in America?
Delve and turn over.
Mm-hmm. What?
Okay. Delve and turn over. Accordingly, verse reads, delve into and turn over, bracket, the secret chambers of Torah, end of bracket, mm-hmm. and it will uplift you.
That's the rest of the pasuk, right?
Yeah. No, that is the pasuk.
What's the rest of the pasuk?
The rest of the pasuk says, it will honor you when you embrace it.
Same idea, right?
Yes. Same idea. And that concludes our limud for the night, and I will see you guys on Monday.
Yeah, right.
No, it was very appropriate because he has to go clean. We're learning about cleaning now.
Ah, very good. You came at the right time.
Perfect.
The Rabbana did not have any idea. You know why the Rabbana didn't know this? Because they were in the basement when their wives were doing the sweeping. But at any rate, the Rabbana did not know what the words Vitata Seven Vitati Ashmad. That her broom is like the is the broom of destruction. They didn't know what the word petata seah meant. They didn't know modern Hebrew. Yom Echad, one day, Shamu Al Yamsa de Bei Rabbi. Again, they heard the maid servant of Rebbe.
Didn't know both words. It was the same thing. Tatasev and Natata. They didn't know.
They didn't know one. They didn't know the other.
A and B. The petatase is just a verb of the metate.
Correct. So it's the verb of the noun or the noun of the verb.
So they didn't know either what it was talking about. The whole pasuk was just a mystery to them. Talking about Hashmeid, they didn't know what means Hashmeid.
Very good.
Okay.
Yom Echad Shamuli Amsa de Beirevi to Havas Amr Lachaverta. This woman was saying to her friend, Shakule Tatisa, take the broom, Vitati Besa, and sweep the house.
Your wife's sister?
And so they figured out what it meant. That's smart. Finally, the Gemara says, "Lo havi yadi rabbana mai hashleicha l'Hashem yahavecha v'hu yichalkelecha." When the pasuk says, "Cast on Hashem yahavecha v'hu yichalkelecha, and He will support you," what does yahavecha meant? They didn't know what the word yahavecha meant. It's a very strange word; it doesn't really show up elsewhere. Amar Rava Bar Bar Chana. Rava Bar Bar Chana says, "Yom achad hava azlina b'had yahutaya." One day, I was going by the by a merchant. I was walking with a merchant, Havadarina Tuna, and I was carrying a heavy load. The Amrali, and he said to me, Shkol Yahavech, take your burden, Vishadia Gamloi, and throw it on my camel. And so he figured out that the word Yahavecha, when the Pasuk says Hashlecha Lashem Yahavecha, is talking about your burden. A person should take his burden and throw it on Hashem, meaning that all of a man's pressures, anxieties, and whatnot should be cast on Hashem and let Hashem do the heavy lifting, so to speak. As a side point, the word Yahav here means a burden. But what else does Yahav mean?
To give.
So that you can understand alternatively the pasuk, Hashleich al Hashem Yahavecha, that which you're given, cast it on Hashem. In other words, don't take credit for the things that you're given in life. Don't take credit for the business that you derived, for the things that you did, for the Torah that you learned, and for all the wisdom that you have and the strength that you have. Everything should be cast on Hashem. And when you do that, He will continue to support you. At any rate, says the Mishnah. Shofar shel Rosh Hashanah.
What did this limud have anything to do with what we learned?
The only thing it was a side point, because we started it by saying that how do we know that a yovel, which was the shofar, how do we know that that is the lashon of a dichra coming from an aisle, from a ram? How do we know that the
yovel doesn't mean animal? Yovel means yovel. Jubilee.
No. Bimshoch bekeren hayovel.
Right, yovel also, besides meaning jubilee, it also means
yes,
animal.
Yes, but in this context, it means the animal.
I understand. In general, it doesn't mean animal. Right, shnas hayovel.
I don't understand, yeah, but what's your
point?
It means
both. It means
yeah, but here, in this context, it's the Gemara wants to know.
I understand. Fight the Pashup shot of yovel.
Fight with me tonight?
I always fight with you.
Okay. You're right.
You have a problem with that?
No, you're right. I have no problem.
You have a problem with that.
What?
Moshe doesn't like it.
What?
He's not here. Not Moshe, the other one.
Ah.
Spangle? Yeah.
Fights with everybody.
No, okay.
Yeah. We've had a relatively smooth evening. Yeah. What?
You're trying to make up for it.
At any rate, the Gemara goes on. You have a question?
I just didn't understand what... I mean, these were all, like, very parallel stories in terms of the structure, but, like, what is it
what
we have to
what
do?
Are what these stories doing?
No, again. It's an agadita. The Gemara went off on a tangent because it wanted to know what's the connection between a yovel and a dichra. So it went on to explain that Rabbi Akiva said that they call in a certain town or in a certain country, they call a yovel a dichra.
It's like a rabia, right?
A rabia, right?
And then he went to the other place.
Right, so it's just going on and saying that there are other words that that were unclear as to what their connotation is. That's all the Gemara is doing. Gemara does this often. It is simply a tangential.
It's diversion. It's so hard, Gemara.
Yeah.
You did diversion.
Rosh is so hard. It's like you vomit.
We need a break sometimes.
What?
We need a break.
We need a break. You want to stop? Is that your way of saying we should stop early tonight?
No, I already came 10 minutes late.
Okay,
going.
Very good.
Later we finish the lesson.
Etate seven, etate hashmad. Okay. We're going to finish very soon. The Mishnah says, what's important about this Mishnah and the ensuing Gemara to know before we begin is that the Gemara and the Mishnah will talk about Yom Kippur, but it doesn't mean the Yom Kippur that we celebrate every year. It means Yovel, because Yovel was really essentially celebrated on Yom Kippur, meaning the Yovel year, which is the 50th year of the Shemitah cycles. The Yovel is sounded, the sound of the shofar of the Yovel, and the ensuing freedom of the slaves and the houses going back to the rightful owners, that happens on Yom Kippur of Yovel. So when the Mishnah and the ensuing Gemara down here speak about Yom Kippur, we're not talking about the annual Yom Kippur, we're talking about Yom Kippur of Yovel. I just want to make that clear so that we don't have confusion, because there are a number of Zmanim that our Mishnah and Gemara will discuss, but Yom Kippur is always here a reference to Yovel. So don't get confused. Why the Gemara says Yom Kippur sometimes and sometimes Yovel, I don't know. I don't have an answer. There's probably a good shot, but I don't have it. Now we can go Viking. Yes? Mishnah. Shofar shel Rosh Hashanah shel Ya'el Pashut. The shofar of the Rosh Hashanah should come from, according to the Tanakhama, a Ya'el, which is a type of goat. Pashut, and it should be simple because the goat, the horns of the goats are relatively straight, whereas that of the ram are curved, right? Yeah? Yeah, LA Rams?
We paskin that everything is kosher.
Actually,
but then it should be kosher.
Actually, we paskin like the Gemara is going to say. Gemara is going to quote Rabbi Levi. We'll get there very soon, and then we'll see how we paskin. Okay.
This is against the other Mishnah on the service level.
Why?
This Mishnah says he's supposed to use the Eyal Pashut, but the other Mishnah says Kol HaShofar Sheres.
So Tosis takes issue with all this in this lengthy Tosis, and Tosis says that there is that Gemara is this Mishnah is talking about on a Bidyevet level, meaning any shofar can be used, but the mitzvah is to use according to our is to use the Eyal, and we'll see Reb Levi is gonna argue. But at any rate. What is the chachila mitzvah to do? He's going to say it's Tanakhama says Ya'el, and then we're going to have other opinions.
All Ya'el's pashut, or a simple, or dafka pashut Ya'el, or all Ya'el's are pashut.
Good question. So this, I believe the Achronim take issue with this, because as we know, the shofar can be molded and mended. If you soak a shofar in hot water, boiling water, it can actually soften up, and it's like plastic. It can be mended. So the question is the stress of the Mishnah the Ya'el, or is it the Pashut? So in other words, if it comes from another animal, but it's Pashut, meaning it can come from a ram, but if we straighten it out, then it's okay. Or if it's straight, but but it's not coming from a Ya'el, it's not okay. So the Achronim debate what the
right.
focus of the
Ya'el
Mishnah is.
And the Pashut could be opposites. Could be not necessarily the same.
Right. So we don't. I don't know exactly. I don't have
like
an answer
most.
For you, but that's what the Achronim speak.
Confusing Mishnah.
Very confusing.
Should we skip
the whole Mishnah?
No, Ya'el Pashut is.
It gets better in 27. So.
Oh, it gets better. In what?
27.
Next Amud.
In 27. Oh, 27.
Next
yeah. Down. Oh, there we go. Play with about 2017.
I'm saying. It gets better with the next
it comes better. It gets better with age.
Well, when I say better, I mean
it's harder.
Better.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Pashut is contradiction. All right, fine. Yalla.
All right. Yalla. You got it? Very good. Okay. Shofar Shorash Shoshana Shel Ya'el Pashut. We're really reaching here tonight. The shofar of the Rosh Hashanah, according to the Tanakh, should come from a Yael, which is very straight. Upiv mitzupazov, and the mouthpiece of the mouth part of the shofar should be coated in gold. As we're going to see in the Gemara on 27, that's only in the Mikdash. This is only talking about a shofar in the Mikdash. A shofar outside of the Mikdash is a simple horn. It doesn't have any coating of gold.
Isn't coating of gold? Isn't the whole idea it's supposed to humble you and humble your heart? Get rid of your gaiva.
Not in Rosh Hashanah, though. Isn't that Rosh Hashanah?
This is talking about the Yovel, right?
What? No, this is Rosh Hashanah Shel Yael Pashu Pivin Tzupazav.
Right. Rosh Hashanah. This is in the Beit HaMikdash.
This is specifically in the Beit HaMikdash and the Har HaBayis.
Well, not Yovel, Rosh Hashanah.
You're asking a good question. Why are we not concerned about that, specifically in the Mikdash and the Har HaBayis? I don't know.
It's supposed to bring people to Tshuva, right? It's supposed to bring people to, you're
not
sinning,
right?
No, the goal here in the mouth, or at the mouth, is a sign of respect to Hashem. Okay, your finery, your very best.
Okay,
as opposed to the begotten of the growing adult, say.
I will buy that vowel. Say it's a very nice pshat.
Meaning, as opposed to Begadim of the Kohen Gadol, who in the Kadosh Kadoshim has to wear white because, you know, the egg old adage about the egg.
Okay. Very good. We just got our Chazara from 26A. We just got a great Chazara here.
Which is okay. It's a theory why.
Very good.
Okay.
Anyway, going on. Then there were in the Mikdash there were two trumpets on the sides on each side. Shofar Marif.
This is not
on the sides of the shofar. So you had the shofar blasting in the middle, and then you had two Kohanim on the sides, one on each side, blasting the trumpet. You had two trumpets going, you had the shofar going, and the shofar was Marif. The shofar extended beyond the blast of the trumpets. It was this beautiful sound.
David.
What?
How do you know it's Kohanim for the...
We don't know. The Achronim say that it's the Kohanim that had to do the Chatzotros.
I want to go back...
And the shofar
I want to go back for a second to the plating or coating at the mouth, okay? Because later on, they discuss, you know, that the mouth... You know, where it meets the person's mouth, it can't be encumbered with a plating.
Okay, that's a Gemara in Chav Zayin Amud Aleph. That's a Gemara in 27, okay?
Yeah.
If you give it all away, I got nothing to say on Monday. I'm going to stop you there.
Sorry.
What? Yeah, he's going to get share on Monday. Yeah. For the record, we're going to have Reb Moshe.
No.
You have to keep it. We don't let Philly fans go.
All Philly fans.
Get out of town.
Get Philly fans. He's like a third string quarterback. Let's go.
Chatzotzos
been a study. Shofar Marich laChatzotzos Mekatzros. The Chatzotzos are shorter than the shofar, which is marich, shemitzas hayom b'shofar, because the mitzas hayom is
the shofar. The notes,
the sound, the blast.
Okay.
Because the mitzas hayom is with the shofar. Ubetanios, but when it comes to tanios, b'shol zecharim. When it came to tanios, they used a ram's horn, kefufin, which is bent, upian mitzupe kesef, and the mouthpiece was coated with silver, and they had the two trumpets blasting in the middle. So you had two shofaros on the sides, and you had two trumpets in the middle. Shofar mekatzer, and in that case, the shofar was mekatzer, while the chatzotzros marichos, while the trumpet blasting was longer, shemitzas hayom chatzotzros, because the mitzvah hayom is to blast the chatzotzros during the tanios when you wanted to gather the people.
Two shofaros,
two tanios.
In Rosh Hashanah, there was only one shofar.
Correct.
You said Makatsa, they started at the same time or they started?
Started at the same time.
Started at the same time, they just stopped and they continued.
Right.
Shofar continued on,
just
continued
on to go.
Rosh Hashanah, and on the best days, the Chatzotzros continued.
Seems to me like maybe you skipped this part about Rosh Hashanah, you know, the contrast Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur of Yovel. Okay, where...
We didn't even get there. We didn't even get to Yom Kippur. We didn't even get there.
We're not there yet.
Buckle up.
Yeah, we'll learn.
The last part of the Mishnah.
I'm sorry, I missed. Yeah.
In by
okay.
The last part of the Mishnah.
Chuba. Sorry about that, Chief.
You can always do Chuba, exactly. There's always
sorry about that, Chief.
Shava Hayovel Rosh Hashanah. Now again, remember when we say we're talking about the Yovel here, which is the 50th year. Shava Hayovel Rosh Hashanah. Yovel is similar to Rosh Hashanah Litkio LeBrachos, with respect to the type of shofar that you used and the type and the amount of brachos that were said. Okay, Rabbi Yehuda says Rosh Hashanah Token B'Shal Zacharim. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with the Tana Kama, who says that we use a straight Yael shofar. He says on Rosh Hashanah we use a bent shofar of the Ayil, Ubi Yovlos, and on Yovel we use Yeshel Ya'elin. We use a goat's horn, which is straight. So whereas the Tana Kama says that on Rosh Hashanah we use, that it seems on Rosh Hashanah and Yovel we use a Ya'el Pashut, the Rabbi Yehuda says, no, on Rosh Hashanah we use a bent horn of the Ayil, whereas on Yom Kippur we use the Ya'el Pashut. Okay.
The male is the Ayil and that's bent. Right?
Yes.
The male is bent and the female, the Ayil and the Ya'el are the same thing? Except
no, I think that the, I don't, is the Ya'el the female Ayil?
It says here Ibex.
Yeah, it's an Ibex or a goat.
The goat is not the ram. A ram is a different animal, right?
Yeah,
a ram
is a
cow. It's from the cow species, right? Ram, and one's a goat, one's a ram.
Wait, where's the zoologist when we need him? I don't have an answer.
A ram is definitely from a cow.
You want me to go to knock on Rabbi Slifkin's
door? Anyway, Slifkin, he has into ibexes. Anyway, so basically, the male, the fact that it's male is not really relevant. The fact that it's a side point, it's a ram.
Yeah.
Male ram.
Yeah. Okay. Now, so we had, again, two opinions. The Tana Kama said that we use on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur a Ya'el Pashut, whereas Rabbi Yehuda says we use on Rosh Hashanah a Kafuf, we use a ram's horn, which is twisted, and we use on Yovel a Ya'el, which is straight. Amar Rabbi Levi.
Clarification here.
Clarification.
Okay.
What was not clear about what I just...
Tana Kama, you're talking about Rabbi Levi?
No.
Rabbi Levi?
No. Tana Kama in the Mishnah. It's the first Tana in the Mishnah.
Oh.
There is no Rabbi Levi. Rabbi Levi was an Amora.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Okay. There are two tshuvas you have to do tonight.
Gotcha. Okay.
I'm just going to count. Rabbi Simcha is going to keep count of how many you have to do tonight. Okay? How many kaparas you have to shlug?
Wait, the Yaelim are Nekevos?
I'm not getting back into this.
Exactly.
I'm not getting back into this. I don't know if it's a Nekeva or a male or an email or a fax.
Because it specifically says
Berosh
Hashanah Zachari.
What?
Because it specifically says Berosh Hashanah Zachari.
Zacharim is
no, Zachari. Zachari means an aisle.
Oh.
It doesn't mean a male.
First time it says Zachari,
okay.
That's
how our school translates it.
What?
They're wrong.
They translate as what?
As males. Like Zachar.
Zachar is male. Right,
then Ya'el is the female version of the Ayel? It's not. Why you call
it? It's not a country.
I'm very
exactly
confused. I thought that the Zachar was an Ayel.
It is.
I know, but I'm saying I didn't know that it actually meant male.
Zachar means
male. I know that Zachar typically means male. I just didn't know in this context that Zachar was a reference to a male as opposed to a reference to an Ayel. Okay, an Ayel is apparently a male type of whatever it is.
Ram.
Amar Reb Levi, can we go on? We're going on. Amar Reb Levi, mitzvah shel Rosh Hashanah v'shel Yom Kippur b'kfufin. Now listen to what Reb Levi says. Reb Levi says that the mitzvah, meaning lechatchila, he's saying mitzvah, the optimal is to use a Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. When he says Yom Kippur, what do we mean?
Yovel.
Very good. So Reb Levi says on Rosh Hashanah and Yovel, you use a kafuf, which is from an aisle. V'shel kol hashanah, but what we use for the rest of the year, meaning for Tanios and the like, bipshutin, then you use a straight one, like a Ya'el.
Tanios are supposed to be tshuva also.
What?
Fast is also tshuva.
Yes, but the purpose of the horns that they blew on the Tanios was to gather the people together. So it was, even before he did Shuvah, you had to blast the shofars and whatever to gather people together, chatzotzros.
So it was a stronger blast?
What?
It was a stronger blast?
I don't know if the chatzotzros were louder, stronger, thicker, I don't know.
Well, I mean, what's the point of the straight one? Like, what's the difference? What's the nafka mean between them?
We'll see the Gemara a little bit later on and how it explains the difference between straight and crooked. We'll explain and then we can discuss it if you want. The Gemara gives a very brief explanation without really getting into the depth of it. But let's finish off the Gemara. According to Reb Levi, the horn on Rosh Hashanah and Yovel is Kfufin, whereas the rest of the year we use a Ya'el Pashut.
Totally against the Mishnah.
Says the Gemara, how can he say that? When V'hatnan, the opening Mishnah says in the beginning, Shofar Shel Rosh Hashanah Shel Ya'el Pashut. You use a Ya'el Pashut. Rav Levi is an Amora. How can he argue with the Tanakam of our Mishnah? So the Gemara says it's not a problem. Because who the Amor Ki'ai Tana? He holds like the following Tana, who is Rav Yehuda at the end of our Mishnah. Desanya, because we have a Braise. It says Rav Yehuda Oimer, B'Rosh Hashanah Hayu Tolkin B'Shel Zecharim. On Rosh Hashanah, Kfufin, on Rosh Hashanah they used the ram's horn, which is bent, Ubi Yovlos, and on Yovlos, Bishel Ya'elim, they used the Ya'el, which was Pashut. So therefore, Relevi holds like Rabbi Yehuda. So says the Gemara, why didn't he just say that? Velema Hilchas like Rabbi Yehuda. Why does he have to go into the whole Hezber that on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur we use this? And on Taniyos we use this. Just say the Halachas like Rabbi Yehuda. And we know exactly what you're talking about. So the Gemara says he couldn't say that exactly. Because he does vary from Rabbi Yehuda in one regard. Iyamar Hilchas like Rabbi Yehuda, if he would have said explicitly the Halachas like Rabbi Yehuda. Hava mina filu shel yovel na mikra Rabbi Yehuda svirilei. I would have thought that even in Yovlos, he holds like Rabbi Yehuda, who says that on Yovlos we use a Ya'el Pashut. But Rabbi Levi doesn't hold that. He says on Yovel we also use a crooked, bent
just
shofar.
The whole year, just the rest of the year we use a Pashut.
Right. So therefore, Reb Levi is arguing with Rabbi Yehuda on one account, agreeing with him on another account, which is why he had to explain explicitly what it is that he holds for both Rosh Hashanah and Yovel. Anyway, says the Gemara, back to our Mishnah.
Why does it have to quote this Baraisa Rabbi Yehuda rather than the end of the Mishnah, which also gives Rabbi Yehuda?
That's a good question, actually.
Which also, right? Because that also references the Kafufim for Rosh Hashanah.
Yes. I don't know why
it... Kafufim for Yovel.
Okay. There is another... there's another girsa that I have that you don't have that says Ki Rabbi Yehuda Ditnan, meaning it is
just matter for you say Ditan or Ditnan, right?
What?
It's just a matter of question of a lot of times Ditan Ditnan get mixed up.
Yeah.
I mean, get
it looks
what
like
is it that you have he doesn't have.
Don't worry about it. Please don't worry about it. It is not immediately relevant. But you're right. It's according to one girsa, it's Ditnan. Instead of the Tanya, it's Ditnan, but it's not important.
It's on the side. It's not in the name. The other girsa?
It's on my Gemara, not yours. Because
it's nowhere.
It's nowhere on yours, yeah. That's because my Gemara is better than yours, okay?
Even though this is a newer edition?
Yeah,
and
doesn't matter, I'm better. But my Kamiflagi says the Mishnah, what are they arguing about? The Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda, what are they arguing about exactly? What is the Hezber of this Machloikas that really Rav Simcha is bringing up? Why do we really care if it's bent, if it's crooked, if it's straight? What is going on here? Mar Savar, so says the Gemara, Mar Savar, Rabbi Yehuda, who says that on Rosh Hashanah you want to have a bent shofar from an ayil, he holds, B'Rosh Hashanah, Kama Dekayif Inish Daite Tfei Mali. On Rosh Hashanah, that a person bends his das, meaning that he humbles himself, he subjugates himself, that's better. It's better for a person to lower himself on Rosh Hashanah because you want to raise Hashem and you want to lower yourself out of humility. U'b'yom HaKippurim, but when it comes to, not Yom Kippur, but Yovel, kama d'pashut inish daite tfei mali. It's better to be straight. You want to be standing up straight. Why? Because that's a time of freedom. The avadim go free. The land goes back to its rightful owner. This is a time of simcha. So you want to be straight. So therefore we signify our attitude with the type of shofar that we use. Umar Savar, but the Tanakama who says that on Rosh Hashanah we use a Ya'el Pashut, and on Yovel, on Tanios we use a crooked one, says, Berosh Hashanah Kama the Pashut Inish Daite Tfei Mali. He says the opposite. He says on Rosh Hashanah Dafka, a person should be straight. Why is it that a person should be straight? I don't know. Maybe...
Honest.
What? Honest? Maybe straightness is honesty. Maybe it's...
straightness be a product of tshuva?
What?
Product of tshuva?
Yeah. It sounds more like... I mean, I would think more of a product of tshuva would be bent over, meaning that you're humbled by your sins. But maybe in order for a person to do a proper tshuva, he has to be machshev himself. And so maybe the Tanakhama holds that you should dafka use a straight one on Rosh Hashanah. Ubetanios, but on fast days, kama dekayif inish daite tfei mali, like Rav Simcha said, on a fast day where a person really wants to humble himself in a state of tshuva, then you use a bent shofar to signify your bent attitude and your subjugation, if you will. And we will stop here at the two dots. Very good place to stop.
This is about Levi. But it says the Kol Hashanah.
35 minutes exact level and a half.